Welcome to Surface Echoes. Make yourself comfortable, take a moment to settle in, adjust your volume if you need to. So, take a deep breath. In just a moment, you're going to hear people's experience of eczema and how it permeates into every aspect of life, based on material from research papers and workshops. The purpose is to move forward and imagine how people's experiences could be better. Now, the easy answer is it's much better in the future if we just didn't have eczema. But on the journey towards being completely gone from everyone's life in the universe, what could be better in the future about how people are treated? That might be medically, it might be socially, it might be something to do with experience. It could be the places to get care. It could be the type of treatment. Something about the atmosphere or the spaces that we live in. All sorts of things. We'd like you to join us and exercise your imagination about what a better future could look like for those living with eczema and for the people who care for them. Thank you for listening to these voices.
You've got something on your face.
Yeah, skin. What about skin?
I was thinking about when people start getting eczema and when we were hunter-gatherers. Did we have eczema? Or were we outside and had enough sunshine and had a different kind of lifestyle and eat differently that wasn't an issue? It seems to be more and more people get it now. When I was a child, I was the only person with asthma and eczema. Now every second person I meet has it. So things are changing.
It'd be sort of good to know kind of what causes it really and how to prevent it. Just advice really on if there's any particular things I should avoid or... how long do you think it's likely to last for?
You know, it's quite tiring to deal with all the time. We've all become a bit tough. And so we don't care that much, although I can't help but feel self-conscious. Other people don't tend to understand the full impact of having it.
It's what you think about when you get up in the morning. I can feel people stare at me when I go out. I have always been robust. When you get a chronic illness and it just doesn't stop, it's exhausting.
You get used to feeling bad all the time. It's the only thing you think about every day when you get up. When I go out, people stare and I'm not myself. I feel like when I talk to people, it's the only thing they're looking at. It probably has to do with self-esteem.
Embarrassing. I often tend to avoid eye contact as I'm embarrassed with what people might see and think. I've lost count of the times that I've been asked things like, "Who beat you up? Did you cut yourself shaving? And is it contagious?" People look worried.
I've had people be like, "Do you feel all right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And then I realise it's because of my redness. Oh yeah, it's just my face. It definitely takes time to learn to be like... Whatever.
People don't think of eczema as being in pain. When you say you're itchy, it's like, well, then suck it up. I think itch and pain often come together.
I guess during the day, when you're in public, you don't want to scratch. There's social pressure not to. But then if you're by yourself, you just go for it. And then it just gets worse and worse with the scratching as well.
I guess what you might be doing differently because of your eczema, like clothes... Covering up eczema, not black because of dry skin and not too light because I might itch and bleed.
There's a kind of mental burden of habit. I think that's a really important phrase, isn't it? The mental burden. It's not just about the physical.
Yeah, like it's tiring. I suppose the physicals, people don't really understand, yeah. Yeah, mask wearing was a nice time.
Definitely grumpier, more tired, and I suppose I can't be bothered with all the rest. I've also noticed my memory. I feel like I'm senile. Forget everything.
Everything slips away when you're not well. So it's a kind of social handicap during those periods when it is bad.
I think my skin has incurred some heavy damage in the last year or year and a half. I'm starting to see the effect now, or at least I think so. It's a shocking experience, but it's not made me say I have to drop the whole thing because I know the alternative.
Sometimes when it's bad and I put on my cream, even if there's no water in the cream, it still feels dank and provocative in a way, so it only gets worse. I only put on the cream when my hands are not so bad, because when they're itchy and have blisters and all that, I just think it gets worse when I put on the cream.
I'm quite hesitant to touch it. Okay. I probably should touch.
It feels good to itch. A temporary relief. Although you know it's making it worse.
I was suddenly like, oh, so painful. And I ran immediately next to the shower. And it was a bright red for the 2 days. Why does it sting so much? What's in there?
I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but my face just burst into flames for an hour.
If I catch a minor flare quickly enough, I can sometimes control the irritation before it gets completely out of control to what I call a meltdown.
They're very strong. I know because it's given by the GP or the dermatologist, so there must be a reason why they give you cream like that. But it's really just like a moisturiser. It doesn't make it better. It's just to moisturise the skin. So basically, I'm not sure whether they actually really, really work.
Sometimes it doesn't do anything on my body.
I find it very confusing. The GP tells you to apply the cream thinly, while the dermatologist says you must apply a thick layer. I did once ask, what exactly is a thin layer?
And then they say put it on sparingly. I mean, how long's a piece of string? What's sparingly, you know?
They're so disgusting. Yeah, so oily and gross. I used to have one that went in the bath and it was literally called Oilatum. Oily tum. I pronounced it wrong because I was a little kid, but that's what it was.
We pretend that he's like a cake and we're putting some kind of chocolate cream on or something like that. That sometimes works, but not all the time. But like I say, he helps to do it himself. He says, oh, I'm going to be a chocolate cake today. So that sometimes helps.
And also, as a teenager, it was really weird with the eyelids because you just want it to go away. Yeah, or just feeling self-conscious.
If you don't do anything, do your eyes just swell up and go puffy? Yeah, and I wake up and I'm like, oh, then you look really ill.
Yeah, I used to have an eczema cream on my eyelids as well. The only thing that ever touched it was like just hydrocortisone. But you can't use that on your face. I just couldn't use any of the good stuff where I needed it, which is kind of frustrating. But yeah, I was ready to do it.
Well, no, I did exactly the same. It was like my lips were really, really dry, and then my boyfriend had some hydrocortisone, so I thought I'd just try that. Just a little bit. And I think it mostly made it worse. But that's the thing, right? They don't know. They might say, oh, try this one. It's recommended by a doctor. But am I meant to use it on my face? But people will try anything if they think it might help.
I quite liked a lot of them because they made you feel like your skin goes really soft. But I do know what you mean. Some of them are really greasy. I remember like when I had really bad lips, the GP gave me this like random cream that did nothing. It actually made it worse. But I was like, well, you have to stick with it because they've said to. They've actually prescribed it. But I remember thinking, this isn't doing anything. Instead, I used a random cream my dad had, and that's what actually helped. It's one of those things where you have to like try stuff you don't know how long for, or like, I guess different things work for different people.
We're told we have these danger zones.
Yeah, I have another patch like down here, and that he's like, definitely use 1%, but he's like, absolutely not on your face.
My eyes. And as we know, it's the worst place to have it because the skin is so very thin there. So you wait and you wait and you wait until you're desperate. And then every time you put it on, you feel bad and you never know. The doctor always tells you, use it, but don't use it.
And we're talking about how scared we are when we put it on our faces, but sometimes it is literally the only thing that will calm the situation.
The label stated, apply 3 times per day. But I only use it when I have symptoms.
When you finally find a cream that works, you feel so happy and relieved.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel guilty for admitting that I use it. And they're like, how much do you use it? And I'm like, oh, well. And I probably downplay what I say to them because I don't want them to say it's too much.
How about doctors? No matter how much in-depth information you can give, because they're not in your body.
I have a knowledge she doesn't know. I know, and she doesn't have a knowledge of my wishes, my lifestyle, because she's not asked me my opinion.
But they can't access the understanding of exactly what I'm feeling. And I'm saying, like, well, don't you feel like it feels like nails on a blackboard? Don't you get that feeling? They're like, no.
It's usually, compared to what? Or on a scale of 1 to 10, where no number has a real meaning.
You wait and you wait and you wait.
So he's got a knowledge, and I've got a knowledge, and I think it would be best if those knowledges culminated and we, you know, we achieved a joint knowledge.
A better understanding. Be as broad-minded. Some people can relate. Some people can have the same issues you have.
I feel that the responsibility is on my shoulders because nothing happens if I don't intervene. I think that we're living in a society where it's okay to say no. However, no one tells us the consequences. The trend is for you to make a choice, but no one dares to debate with us about the consequences. I think that the physicians do have an opinion about things, but they don't dare put on too much pressure because they're afraid of being accused later on.
I think that they expect that if they can find the one trigger for the eczema, they can make it all magically go away. So you have to unpick that.
I was open to any information. I was quite desperate because I was a first-time mum and he was quite, you know, he was red, he was sore. It was startlingly obvious he had a problem. And one doctor would say one thing and one doctor would say another. That wasn't reassuring.
I would like to have somebody give me all the information to help me make the decision. I just felt that there wasn't enough information. They didn't know enough, or, you know, they didn't even seem that willing to sort of discuss it with me. It was almost like I was being a bit of pain because I was making a bit of a deal of it.
I think this trial and error is a very primitive form of medicine. Quite simply, I asked for something more radical. We're talking about the largest organ in the human body. This is a bit poor, considering where we ought to be.
Wasn't any sense of it being a kind of care plan. Very much ad hoc. Kind of diagnostic odyssey.
But they don't really have an alternative.
Anytime I say that to doctor, they're just like, just keep using again.
And I'm like, I didn't really ask for a cure.
I'm drawn to the word sleep. I used to go into work on 1 hour of sleep and then I spent my time staring into space, itching and feeling sorry for myself and unable to snap out of it.
I put teachers in workplace. I think teachers especially. Probably because as a young child, obviously, if you're not at home, then you're at school. And in terms of workload, if they don't understand why you're feeling stressed, the family unit usually sees all of it. But teachers aren't always informed about how it can impact you, like your sleep and that kind of thing. And I think the more informed they are, the more compassion they can kind of have for you.
Yeah, I guess a lack of sleep is one of the things that really impacts your quality of life, like more than anything. Yeah. I think it can sometimes not be recognised.
When my skin was really bad, I wouldn't sleep. I was taking sleeping pills as well. Sleep is like a big undervalued thing in eczema.
I need to sleep, otherwise everything will be affected.
I used to have the little white gloves, the little Mickey Mouse gloves as well for sleeping. But also, if you put the cream in them, it also keeps it on your hands for longer. It's quite soothing, but it's also such a disgusting feeling, putting your hands into the greasy glove.
I feel like the heat exacerbates it, but it's freezing cold, so you have to be warm. But the heat just makes your body on fire. So itchy. And then you concentrate so hard not to scratch. But as soon as you fall asleep, you wake up. And I jump out of bed and put steroid cream on to try and counteract it. You don't get a good night's sleep.
I couldn't sleep for more than an hour without waking up to slather ineffective creams all over my dry, cracked lips.
Sometimes I have to wait and apply the cream at 2 a.m. when he's asleep.
It's impossible to be on sick leave just because you're tired, so I carried on throughout the spring and I completely collapsed.
I had this dream very recently that I ate the sun, and when I opened my mouth, sunshine came out. And I was thinking, sunshine soup. If you could just with a big net, just catch a little bit of the sun and the sunshine soup and the vitamin D would work for inside. It's all prescription, it's free, it's based on the Scottish model. Also, I thought we would invent hypoallergenic body temperature regulating textiles that were cool when you needed them to be and a little bit warm and also ever so slightly hydrated as well. Especially for those nights when you're so itchy and hot and the sheets know that and cool down while you sleep. And every chemist would have a free dermatologist walk in. I mean, obviously, I had a weird dream.
When it comes down from the sun, it comes through you and you open your mouth and the sun beams out and you're golden.
You can get vitamin D tablets.
I like the idea of treatments. I was talking about UV treatments, sun treatments, things like that.
I think my skin is generally a bit better in the sun, other than being sweaty.
Dry weather is good for me. Humid is also really if it's warm and dry. I think that's why deserts are supposed to be good.
Really?
Yeah. The humidity is what really exacerbates for me. It's the hot and humid. It affects the back of my knees, my crook of my arms and the back of my neck. If it's hot and dry, it feels better. Then the cold can be really bad for it. Actually, quite often my hands will bleed in the winter because they just crack. Everything just heals so much slower in the winter.
I was trying to think of the best way to replicate how my skin feels when someone else touches it and it's flared up. And the only thing I could think of is like someone basically like running their hand down a cheese grater. So that's what I came up with. Because it is rough and it's all over my skin, which is pretty accurate.
So I was holding up an old piece of cardboard in the last meeting. I was sitting fidgeting with it and I was feeling it. And I was literally thinking that it was rough like skin. And then Susie said to us that we would need to bring something that represents her skin. And I got the genius idea that the old piece of cardboard that I was fidgeting with on my desk, that felt like rough skin. Thought that would sum up.
I went for kitchen paper, but I wanted to go for like crepe paper. I don't have crepe paper, but I just want the idea of something that's very fragile and terrible, but also rough. Ideally, I'd like to get the flakiness in. I feel like I cannot replicate flakiness in everyday objects because everyday objects are designed not to be flaky so they don't fall apart. But something just kind of like slightly falling apart would be nice.
I did my acupressure mat and it kind of represents two things. So it's like a mat with really sharp points on and it kind of reminds me of like a hedgehog, like when my skin is in pain. I kind of don't want anyone to come near me. And it's like that prickly feeling on your skin against your clothes. And the other reason why I chose it was because it's like all the things that I've tried to manage my eczema and stress management and then trying all these crazy things and acupressure mat, something that's actually helped me. So yeah, that's the reason why I chose that.
Yeah, so it literally feels like you feel. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I feel like we've been on the journey and I don't know, but I'm guessing that in the future, maybe some people would like to have the opportunity to share them and hear them.
It was quite cathartic to share them. For some people, if they don't have someone who understands them, it's quite nice to be in an environment that people do to get stuff off your chest.
Because I feel like you're in your own little bubble where it's just like your life, your skin, you're used to it.
It's just normal to me. I'm used to it.
So this is more of a better social future. Imagining a better future.
One change, one moment, one experience, one imagined point in the future.
I just want to do something to the world.
A little research centre where they find the DNA for eczema. That's the dream. It's a structure, kind of beautiful.
A place, yeah. A moisturiser building like a spa that is full of allergen-friendly... That's a great idea. An allergen-friendly spa.
Treatment centre, beautiful. Trying to think of something else that could inspire us. Yes, taking the stress out of it.
What we want are just good vibes in the future. I can see how it could be.
It's so bad that you have to jump through all these hoops. So maybe you just don't have to jump through. You just get an option of all the treatments that are available and you can actually choose.
Okay, I think I also got lucky recently that my GP's good. I don't want to keep going on about it, but I do understand this for some people, but not for me personally.
has to be you. So subjective a topic. And nurses, doctors can only observe so much, and not the effects it has personally.
Somebody actually listening to me and thinking, taking me seriously? If you went to your GP, you could say, right, my child's got eczema, or is this eczema? And they say, yeah, it's eczema. Here's a pack. Here's an information pack that's been put together by and talks about itching and scratching.
I just felt like I wasn't being dismissed, and they were really recognising that it was a hard decision for me to make to go on to medication. And so I think it is very much a very big difference from just being heard and then dismissed and then kind of considering your past of eczema and what you've been going through up until this point. So I don't know. I know it takes time.
I felt that my opinion was valid, and I felt that I had the opportunity to express my concerns.
I felt listened to. It was a conversation.
It was a positive experience because she spent half an hour at my first visit. She explained the various connections to me, the good and bad of protopic, and gave me different alternatives to choose from. She was serious about my illness.
Yes. How to use it, how often to use it, and when to stop using it, because obviously you don't want to use something full time. So I needed to know, well, when do I stop using this? When do I? When is it safe to stop using it and just use the moisturiser?
I think verbally with written information, because you don't always take it in, and sometimes afterwards you think, oh, what's that exactly?
Consistent advice about caring for your skin. Holistic is the right word, I think. It does help a little bit.
Other countries, maybe you have a different first port of call for care as well.
In my family, we kind of shared prescribed treatments. Trying things and testing things, we share knowledge.
I think what's useful for me is other people's experiences and just knowing that you're not on your own when you're kind of thinking, I can't get on top of it. What other people have done and tried so that you can try it.
It's very validating to hear that you're not just making it all up and it's actually deserving of treatment. Does that make sense? Heard everybody's story?
Finally, well, I think it was just that we've all had quite different experiences.
So anything else that you'd really like to kind of bring to the group that we haven't covered?
Anybody wants to share anything? Completely up to you.
Or have you got better ideas?